And I told someone that I gave Rabbi Nyman a hard time. I said I was only going to give a shmooze if I could be broadcast. But I guess I also said I would only give a shmooze if people would come to me afterwards and say good Shabbos. Like I'm not. Rosh Hashanah is an extremely confusing day. When you just think about it, I'll just give you one example of it. I once was speaking to someone, and I asked him, you know, like in your yeshiva, when you were learning in yeshiva, what were the meals like in yeshiva on Rosh Hashanah? He said, well, in my yeshiva, the meals were very intense. You know what I mean? Like whatever Shabbos meals, normally in yeshiva, you know, you eat, you shmooze, you sing zmiris, whatever it is. This, the meals were very intense. There was nice food and everything, but then everyone ate, you know, maybe one or two nigunim or something, and then everyone went back to base medrash and learned. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's not, I mean, I guess you should be happy in some way, but it's a serious day. We've got a judgment to bring before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've got a case to make. Let's get back to work. Okay. Someone else told me, you know, they learned at a very different yeshiva, also a very esteemed yeshiva. They said, that's not the way we had it in our yeshiva. In our yeshiva, Rosh Hashanah was a yomtiv. Rosh Hashanah was an exciting day. We, of course, had a nice meal in yeshiva. Of course, we learned. But there was zmiris, there were nigunim with leibedikait, because it's a wonderful yomtiv. And that difference, both yeshivas are very well-respected yeshivas, that difference, I think, captures the confusion that a lot of us have when we look at Rosh Hashanah. Someone, I decided to speak about this because someone in my shiur asked me this yesterday. What's the deal with Rosh Hashanah? Like, we consider it a yontif, we eat nice meals, but it's obviously a very serious time. It's a very serious topic. Yom Kippur, we have a little bit of an easier time grasping. Yom Kippur is just like a super intense day, and we just, you know, hopefully we daven with Kavanah, and then we move on. Rosh Hashanah is confusing. Why is it so confusing, and how should we look at it? It's an important thing to think about. Another question. As I'm sure many of you guys have learned in past years, in the Rosh Hashanah Musaf, there are three very famous sections of the middle of Rosh Hashanah Musaf. Anyone know what one section? Shmuel? Malchios. What's next? Zechronos. Finally, Shofros. Okay, so Malchios, we talk about the fact that Hashem is our Melech. We know that's a theme that shows up a lot on Rosh Hashanah. Fine. So Chronos, we talk about the fact that Hashem remembers everything. Hopefully He'll remember us for good. He judges us. Fine. Shofros. So what would you guess Shofros is about? I would have guessed Shofros is about that we talk about how powerful the Shofar is of Rosh Hashanah. That's part of it. But we talk about all this other stuff. When we, you know, in each section of Musaf, we bring down Psukim. I want everyone to pick up their heads, please. In each section of Musaf, we bring down Psukim from Chumash, from Navi, from Ksuvim, relating to the issue. So one of the big series of Psukim that we bring down in Shofros is we talk about the Shofar that was blown by Matan Torah. Shofar that was blown by Matan Torah. Okay, I guess they blew a Shofar at Matan Torah, it says in the Pasuk. I don't know what that has to do with me. I'm here, I'm blowing a Shofar to ask Hashem for Rachamim. What does that have to do with it? Once at Matan Torah, or Sinai, they blew a Shofar. And then, by the way, it also, another series of Pesukim, talk about how ultimately when the Geula comes, when Mashiach comes, and everyone recognizes Hashem Hu Elokim, there'll be a Shofar blowing. So like that's fascinating, you know, and let's talk about the trumpet a little bit now. When do we blow the trumpet, and when do we do this, and we do that? It's so strange. It's hard to relate to. What am I supposed to be thinking about when I go through Shofros? We should be much more focused. Talk about, maybe you want to talk about the Shofar that you blow in Kavod Hashem, maybe you want to talk about the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, but Har Sinai, and Lost Lavo, the Geula, we're all over the place. So I want to tell you a very beautiful morale. You know, the Shofar is obviously a very, forgive using the term, but in some sense it's a musical instrument. It's something that we make a sound with, right? You have many types of musical instruments, right? You have a piano. Welcome to piano. You can make a sound with a piano. You have a guitar. You have drums. You have a shofar. And the Maharal says there's something very chashuv, very important about a shofar. It's not the only instrument like this, of course. Something very important about a shofar. And that is that what makes the shofar make its sound? My breath. Right? I blow into the shofar. I blow into it. What makes the piano make a sound is I go like this, right? I mean, me, I actually really go like this. Some people do it a little bit better. Whatever it is, that's what makes the piano make its sound. A shofar, it comes from within. And Maharal has a beautiful, beautiful thought that what the shofar really represents is we, each one of us, have tremendous kochos, tremendous abilities. But they're really kind of hidden within us. Our true emotions, in most cases, are really hidden within us. If I look at you and I'm trying to figure out what do you think about such and such? What do you feel about such and such? Sometimes I can figure out, sometimes I can't. Sometimes in extreme situations, if you get very emotional, I can figure it out. Sometimes if someone gets very worked up at a specific moment, that is like telling about their personality in general, all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is we all are closed books inside. And honestly, many, many times, we ourselves don't have a clue what exactly is inside of us. And the Maharal says a beautiful thing, and he says that when we blow shofar, we're bringing out this ruach. By the way, ruach, air, that goes all the way back to Adam Arishan. By Pach Ba'apov, that Kadosh Baruch Hu blew into Adam. That's how we gave him life. Right? So the pshat is that we have this within us, and the shofar, when we blow the shofar, we're bringing out what's inside of us. We're bringing out our hidden thing out there, outside. If you look at it from this perspective, I think the bracha of shofros makes a tremendous amount of sense in a beautiful, beautiful way. We say the famous, famous quote, "Histakel ba'oraisu bara alma." HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, I mean, how did he decide? How did he decide what the geography of Silver Spring, Maryland would be like? How did he decide where there'd be mountains? How did he decide where there'd be rivers? How did he decide there'd be wood? How did he decide all of this stuff? Famous, famous quote, "Histakel ba'oraisu," the Eibishter looked at the Torah, "Ubara alma," and from the Torah he created the world. However he did that, I don't know. Don't ask me how he created the world. I don't understand. But that's what we say. That's the concept that we say. We say a very famous thing. We know it's very famous, as I'm sure many of you have learned in Chumash. We say the Avos kept the Torah. Sometimes there were exceptions, but normally speaking, we say the Avos kept the Torah. But I don't understand. They weren't commanded to keep the Torah. I mean, it's amazing kind of things you have, like, you know, like Avram Avinu eating matzah on Pesach before Yetzias Mitzrayim ever happened. Like, what's the story? And it all runs back to this idea that Histakel ba'oraisu bara alma, if someone is truly spiritually plugged in, then everything in the world they can understand. And it all runs back to the Torah. So, 3 weeks before Har Sinai, you meet, some regular guy on the street. Ich weiß this, somebody, it could be from Amalek, it could be from the Girgashi, the Yavusi, whoever. Midian. And you come to him and say, let me ask you a question. What do you think is the relationship of the Torah with the creation of the world? He'd look at you like you were nuts. He doesn't even know what a Torah is. Right? When the Torah was brought to the world, when the Eibishter gave Torah to Klal Yisrael, it revealed something that had been there the whole time. The Torah was part and parcel of the world, utterly, totally, but just none of us knew it. Even Klal Yisrael didn't know it. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Torah to the world, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Torah to the world, the shofar blows. Because that's the representation. That something's coming out here. The Geula. Meir Avi Amenu, when the Geula happens. So we, hopefully, myself included, we don't think about it enough. We don't realize it enough. But this world revolves around the Torah, as he said before, and revolves around Klal Yisrael, and revolves around Klal Yisrael's relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody else are other actors in the play. We are the main characters in this world. That's what this world is mamish all about. We are the Am HaNivchar, and it's not just about us, soap operas of Klal Yisrael. That's not the point. The point is it's about our steiging, our serving our Kadosh Baruch Hu. When the Geula comes, the whole world is going to be amazed. The janitor at CVS is going to say, wow, I thought those guys' only purpose was to come down during class to buy sodas. I didn't know that they run that the world is there for them. I wouldn't have thought that. They're going to be mesmerized. We're going to be mesmerized. Even though conceptually we believe it, we never really thought about it. The shofar's going to be blown. Because that chashivus of Klal Yisrael in the world, and even more so, that Hashem Hu Elokim, that Hashem runs the entire world, that was there the whole time. And the world just didn't know it. So the shofar blowing there signifies something was there the whole time, but now we're bringing it from being hidden out in the open. And that is an extremely important thing to think about when we hear the shofar being blown in Rosh Hashanah. Because it's very nice to talk about the godless of Matan Torah. And it's very nice to talk about the godless of when the Geula will come. And the godless of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak et the Akedah and all those different things. And the godless of Hashem. But there's another extremely important thing that we have to think about. Which is our own godless. Rabbi Lyman spoke along these lines. It definitely fits with what Rabbi Lyman was saying. Our own gatlus. Understand that when the shofar is being blown, of course, there's only one person in the shofar they're blowing, the shofar. But when the shofar is being blown, in a certain sense, that represents, like this morale, that represents our pnimius, our inner essence coming out. We don't even know it. You know, some of you guys might have learned the significance of the shofar blows is it's like we're crying to Hashem. Right? That's like the shvarim and the true, and the shvarim is supposed to sound like crying. It's supposed to sound like crying. I don't know. You know, I come to Rosh Hashanah, I come to Shul Rosh Hashanah. You know, I want a good year, I want to have brach in this, I want to have brach in that, I want shalom for klalis, all these different things. And if I get really, really worked up, maybe I'll even shed a tear at some point, Rosh Hashanah, or maybe I'll shed a tear at some point. But there's a whole other type of crying. And that is our pnimius, our inner essence, screaming, literally screaming out for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we're all about is coming close to you. We're all about coming close to you, and we are so far. We're so far from you. And we just want to come closer. And I don't mean that in a sad way. I mean that in a beautiful way. Take a step back. Think about that when you're hearing shofar being blown. That's such a powerful thing to think about in Rosh Hashanah. How can I come closer to Hashem? Because whether or not I realize it at the moment, that is my greatest desire. Might be buried. Might be under a lot of layers. But it's there. It really is. So, it's kind of a little bit of a lofty kind of thing to talk about. And I'll be honest, when I was sitting last night, I thought to myself, okay, I mean, how am I gonna make the sell to these guys that everybody deep down really wants to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You know, and, you know, like any Rebbe, like any speaker, I'm like, okay, let me think of a story. And try to think of a story that brings out the point. And I wasn't thinking of any good stories, so I was getting a little bit depressed. And maybe I would have even changed my subject, but it was too late at night already. But then I realized a very basic thing. A very basic thing. And I know I say things like this before, but I say it because I mean it. I took a 1 year break from davening in the high school base medrash. My shiur last year, at least the ninth graders, we foraged here, and then the middle school base medrash was very nice. I took a 1 year break. So a lot of you guys are growing physically and things like getting taller. So a person who sees you every day, you know, it's like, okay, Shkari, I guess you're a little bit taller for a person. You have some relative who didn't see you for a year, 2 years. All of a sudden they see you, you're so much taller, you look so different. I have to say, the nachas that I got it at the beginning of the year, and I'm still getting it. Mitzvah Hashem, I'll keep on getting it. The nachas that I get when I look around the base medrash during davening is awesome. It's awesome. I'm looking, Baruch Hashem, I'm a young guy, but I've been here long enough already. I'm seeing 11th graders, 12th graders, and I remember them. We have 9th and 10th graders also davening beautifully, but I'm making another point. I remember them when they were in my shir. When they were 9th grade, 10th grade, whatever, 11th grade. And I remember the biggest avoda was, you know, getting them to keep their head up and getting them not to talk. And, you know, and Baruch Hashem, a guy sits here a little, you know what I mean? Like, you know, a little bit, okay, at least he's behaving, at least looking in the center, at least he's saying a little bit. Fine, that's good behavior during davening. I remember always thinking to myself, gosh, I wish it was more impassioned. I wish it was more real. But okay, listen, I'm not perfect myself. Those same guys I'm looking at, I'm spoiled by it. I'm inspired by it. Me, myself, I'm not just like, wow, it's beautiful. I'm inspired by it. So many guys, I look around, and it doesn't necessarily mean a guy screams loudly when he davens and chuckles a ton when he davens. I just see it. I can't tell you how many times I've been here at the end of a few times I daven my review every now and then. Thursday night, last night, I can't tell you how many times I'll see a guy after Mariv sit there and just like hold the sitter very close and just make sure to get every word of L'David exactly right. And the people that I'm thinking of are not guys who always took davening seriously when they were in our school. It's a beautiful thing. So what I realize is I don't need any fancy stories. You guys are the story. Really. Some of you guys can think about yourselves. Some of you guys can look around at other people, your friends. So, wow, there's something going on. The davening is more meaningful to the person than it used to be. What is it about it? What is it that makes davening more meaningful to the person? I'll tell you what makes davening more meaningful, my friends. What makes davening more meaningful is a person feels they connect to it. All the stories and drushes and shiurim are gevaldik. In the end of the day, does someone connect to it or not? And better put, does someone feel the connection to it or not? You have it in everything. Yeah, you have it every, again, I don't know, maybe I'll give a few examples. Maybe each example, one, two, three people it speaks to. We have guys here in this space, Medrash, I'm sure we do, who worked on Nechvesnisht, worked on a Tosis, trying to work out a Tosis, trying to get a Gemara clear, trying to understand some Ramban and the Chumashir, whatever, and they figured it out. And there's an excitement in figuring it out, and it's a unique excitement in figuring it out. It's not just the excitement of accomplishment, that's always very exciting. But there's something more, maybe not fully tangible, but something more than that, a little bit more than that. I'll give you guys a whole different example. Have you ever been, I don't know, on a Shabbos Suda or something, or a Kumsitz, and you hear a niggin, it's a slow niggin, it's a fast niggin, and you're moved by it in some way. When I was just thinking about this, I remember back, I can only speak for myself, that Kabbalah Shabbos that we had when we went to Dora Golding last year, that Shabbaton, for those who were there, it was a beautiful, beautiful Kabbalah Shabbos, and the Lebedekite, and the singing, and the Ruach, it was beautiful. I was inspired. I don't think I'm the only one who was inspired. So what inspired us during all these things? Was it that the Chazan hit the exact right note that I was impressed by the melodiousness of his voice? I heard that the other day. I davened for the Yomah the other day. Someone gave me Yasher Koach. And he said, but I have to say, on the melodious level, not so high. Like, okay, what can you do? But in any event, that's not the word. That's not what really inspires. That's not what really inspires. There's something else. What is it? I can't scientifically explain it to you. But all I can tell you is, there's something real there. I hope that everybody in the room, I was either able to give an example that speaks to you, or at least that you recognize that maybe you know someone else who that speaks to, and that you ask, so maybe there is something. I can tell you, I recently, someone gave us a gift of a biography of Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld, a fascinating biography. I'm enjoying it tremendously. He was an extremely unique Rosh Hashiva. He lived, what did he pass away? 20 years ago? 30 years ago? Less. I'm sorry. Okay. So I tell the guys in my share notes, years aren't my thing. So in any event, a fascinating, fascinating person and just an awesome mechanich. So his yeshiva, Shar Yashuv, I'm sure people, he was the one who started Shar Yashuv. People have heard of it. I'm sure some. And his big thing was he's going to make a yeshiva that's not going to be for the average classic yeshiva bachur who could fit into any yeshiva. He's going to make a place that maybe guys wouldn't fit into so well. So they say that he had one question on his bechina. You know, so you go to yeshiva for a bechina, so they ask you, read this. What do you know about that? They ask you a few questions. He would ask one question. He would ask, let me ask you a question. Do you want to learn? If you want to learn, you're in. If you don't want to learn, I don't know if I can work with you. We got a problem. I don't care if you've never opened the Gemara in your life. I don't care what learning disabilities you have. I don't care. If you want to learn, I'll make it work for you. There's a story told that someone once came into him and said, you know something? I don't want to learn. But I want to learn. I'm not there. I don't want. But I feel that I'm missing something by not wanting it. He said, that's also very good. That's also very good. But I have to tell you one more story that I saw in that book about his entrance exams. And that story is that he asked that question to somebody. Do you want to learn? So he actually was extremely big, physically imposing, just physically, just a big, big person. Very warm and kind. Do you want to learn? So somebody once came into the Bechina and said, yeah, right. You're kidding me. He said, you're in too. Well, is there any wrong answer to this exam? So what's the pshat? What's the pshat you're in too? So it's a tremendous chachma, but it's so true. If the person is so off, if the person is so totally, there's no way in the world I'll ever want to learn. I have no interest. You know what? Dr. Schwartz could give us the psychological backup on that, hopefully. But on some level, if it bothers you so much, that means it speaks to you in some way. In other words, if you came up to me and you said, Rabbi Rosenbaum, would you like to play football today, YFL, in the rain? So, I mean, theoretically, if it's raining. No. My answer is no. My answer is not, no way, never, get out of my face. It's just no, I'm just not interested. Thank you very much. Really, really, it's really true. But if I answer in a very virulent way, like in a very strong way, that tells you something. That tells you something. That something about that presses my button. This is a chashuva thing to think about. And now I think we can understand this tension within Rosh Hashanah, guys. Because if we, this is just one of many different ways to think of Rosh Hashanah. There's no one right way. But if we take this tack for a second. So you know what the simcha, you know what a simcha Rosh Hashanah is? It's kind of like we finally find ourselves. We have so many other distractions. We have schoolwork and we have this and we have that. And we have so many other things that we do for fun. And that's fine. But when do we ever have the chance to say what I am, what my metzias, what my essence is, more than anything else, I'm an Eben Hashem? When do we have the chance to say such a thing? When do we have the chance to stop and really recognize it? Rosh Hashanah gives us that opportunity. If we think about it and if we appreciate it, that's a tremendous simcha. Tremendous simcha. Because I'm in. I understand. I understand what it's about. I understand what I'm about. I could give my life so much more of a meaning than the guy down the street. But it's also a little bit serious. Because if your whole pitch is, that's it, I live a life of meaning, I connect to Hashem, it's about what I'm going to do. Okay, so what? So you just smile one day a year? You know, it's like, there are husbands like this. You have husbands, you have husbands that don't give their wives proper attention, aren't sympathetic, don't pay attention, all these different types of things. And then the anniversary comes, and then they take their wife out for a beautiful dinner. Shkayach, yotze, back to regular life. There's not a lot to be gained from that. I mean, a decent meal. But there's not a lot to be gained from that. Lamais, there's not a lot to be gained from that. So the question is, so fine, we take for one day, for 2 days, and we listen to shofar, and we think about it. And we say, you know what, my essence really connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's who I am, this is wonderful, this is a simcha. And then you close the mocks and go home and just back to regular. That obviously misses the boat utterly. Utterly, totally. So it's a serious day. But if we look at the day properly, it's a day of tremendous simcha. So different yeshivas will do different things. You'll sing nigunim to bring out the simcha. You'll go right back to the base medrash. That's a different type of simcha. Whatever. You see, it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both. And you know, I think the nicest part about this is, if I were to ask right now, if I were to ask to the room right now, who in this room feels passionately that their essence is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what the shofar means, and you're the shofar? I don't know how many people raised their hand. I think some people probably might. But I have to tell you, one of the greatest holding backs to raising your hand would be, you don't want to be the frumie. You don't want to be the guy who stands out. I mean, that's just natural. And some people are okay with it, and some people aren't okay with it. The godless of Rosh Hashanah, listening to a shofar, thinking about what Rosh Hashanah is about, is it's just between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you think? What do you feel? We emphasize in a very major way on Rosh Hashanah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. I mentioned Malchios before. We change brachas from Akel HaKadosh to Melech HaKadosh. The Baal Shachris begins with a niggin, which I will not try, and then says HaMelech. Right. Melech, Malchus, is a major, major emphasis of Rosh Hashanah. That fits into this shofar concept. It fits in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my essence connects with you. I am davuk to you. I want to be closer to you because that's what my life is about. I will make you my Melech. I'm going to devote my life to you in a more real way. That fits like a glove with the concept of with this concept of kirshofer that we're talking about. These are two extremely significant things to think about over the course of davening and over the course of the day in general. To think about Malchus, the Malchus Hashem, over us, not just over the world, over me as an individual, and also to hear the shofar and to think we hear shofar so many times in Rosh Hashanah davening. Imagine if at least part of the time we just focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My inner pnimius is coming out and it's crying to come closer to you. So, great. Rosh Hashanah will be a serious day. Rosh Hashanah will be a happy day. We'll play attention during shofar. We'll think about Malchus. What does that mean, Lamaisa? I mean, we're going to become perfect overnight? every second of our lives is going to be devoted to Avodas Hashem. It's a little steep. So I just want to give you guys, I was just thinking, I want to give you guys three very general examples. And honestly, I think that everybody in the room, no matter where you're coming from, could probably find one of these examples that connects to them in some way. I honestly think so. But again, the umbrella of all of these examples is the ratzon to make Hashem my melech and to believe that my inner essence connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to give you a really basic way to demonstrate that our lives connect to Hashem. Super basic. Something we're learning about, probably all of us are learning about in yeshiva now. Netilas Yadayim. Again, we're going to give a lot of different types of examples for people in a lot of different places. Netilas Yadayim. You know what it is? You get up in the morning, you say Moda Ani, and you wash Negel Vasir. You know what the statement that is? Okay, you learned about the Ruach Ra, and you learned about Tumah, you know, and you learned about that he touches places. Okay. You learned another pshat. There's another pshat in Netilas Yadayim, that it's like the Kohen who's devoting himself for Avoda in the morning. But even besides that pshat, you know what it is? I wake up, the first thing I do during the day is I do a mitzvah. I do the Ratzon Hashem. It's meaningful to me, it's not meaningful to me, whatever. I do the Ratzon Hashem. That's the first thing I do in the day. Because he's my melech. And maybe next year I'll be in a different place. You go to bed at night, the last thing you do, you say Kriyat Shema Lamita. Because that's the beginning and end of my day. Okay, that's one extremely basic thing to think about. One. Two, totally different thing. I think, I say it to adults all the time. I think it's true for teenagers also. I think probably one of the most difficult things we have in our lives is meaningful tefillah. Now, if we resolve that our tefillah will be meaningful this year, we are wasting our time because we'll try for 3 days, we won't succeed, and we'll go back to normal. But to focus on one aspect of tefillah, whether it be when we come to davening, whether it be how we conduct ourselves during davening, whether it be 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a week, 5 minutes every other day, whatever, something feasible, practical, to devote to reading through an English sitter or reading a Perush on davening. Beautiful books. There's this book, Praying with Fire, that's floating around. There's another version. I have adults come up to me and tell me that it's changed their lives. Try that. It's a 5 minute a day thing. Try it. I have to point out something else that I have a little bit of Agnes Nefesh from. I see it honestly in Shomrei. I can't believe Shomrei is the only place. I see guys that daven beautifully during the week. And then, you know, every now and then I glance out and shul, and I don't know, I guess it's peer pressure. You know, you're schmoozing with this one, you're standing with that one, you're joking with the third one. I'm not mad at anyone, but it's a little bit sad. Maybe that should be what it is. Maybe it should be that the chizuk is, I'm going to daven as well on Shabbos when it's not school and rebbeim as I do during the week. That's a mahala. And I want to tell you one more suggestion. That's the malchus to show that Hashem is really our melech. And what it means, I think the most powerful way that Hashem is our melech is gray areas of time. Time where we could do one thing or the other. It's not like we're tied down to something. To devote a little bit of a gray area to Avodas Hashem. And specifically to Limud Torah. You know what a beautiful thing that would be? If a guy sits, and some guys do it already. I'm just throwing out different thoughts. If a guy sits for 5 minutes after davening and learns something. On their own time. A guy has something, maybe it fits with the diamond thing we're talking about. A guy, 5 minutes at home at night, reads Praying with Fire, or something like that. Give a little bit of your own time to Avodas Hashem. You know what? That's such a powerful statement. It's saying that everything revolves around your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not perfect. You're not going to devote all your time to it. But it's a statement. So Rabbi said, this is again, just to sum up what we're really saying, is that this morale, the idea of the shofar, is when we hear the shofar, we should think that an inner essence of ourselves is coming out. This connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this desire to connect strong with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something very powerful to think about in Rosh Hashanah. And Amir Tashem, if we think about it and we resolve in one or two small ways, how make ourselves a little bit more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu this coming year, then Amir Tashem will be in a totally different place next year, and slowly but surely we'll become great people. Great out to Hashem, and be much more in touch with our inner essence. We shall be zocha to exceed v'chassim atova.
Are we having a good time?
1 minute.
The field just got water.